Chapter 13. Buzz stood on the deck of the Lucky Star, scanning the beach with a pair of cracked binoculars. Carter and Jane had been gone all morning, and now a good part of the afternoon as well. So far, there was no sign of them. No water, either. The inside of his mouth felt like paste on paste. "Hey, Vanessa," he called down. "Don't you think they should have been back by now?" "I don't know," she said. "This is Carter we're talking about. He won't be able to show his face unless he finds water." It was true, Buzz thought. Carter was stubborn that way. Still, it was hard not to worry. Once you'd gotten shipwrecked in the middle of nowhere, it was pretty easy to imagine other bad things happening, too. "Maybe we should go look," he said. "Just walk up the beach or something." "If they're not back in an hour, we'll start looking," Vanessa said as she came up the galley steps. "But come here, check this out." She was carrying a spiral-bound book of maps in her hand, and she laid it open on the deck to show him. Buzz crunched down to have a look. The map in front of him was a 2-page spread with the title Islands of Oceania across the top. It showed the west coast of the United States in one corner, Australia in the other, and a wide expanse of Pacific Ocean in between. "So we set sail from here 6 days ago," she said, putting her finger down over the big island of Hawaii. On the map, it was about the size of a skittle. "And when we left, I'm pretty sure we sailed south and west." She drew a diagonal line with her finger past something called Johnston Atoll, then out into the biggest empty space of ocean on the page. "This is about 900 miles from Hawaii," she said. "That's how far we were supposed to come. I don't know how much farther that storm blew us or which way Dexter changed course, but I think we're somewhere around here." Buzz felt a quickening inside him. They knew where they were. This seemed like it could be big. Except, he glanced at his sister and saw the furrow between her eyebrows. Why wasn't Vanessa more excited? The nearest land to where she'd pointed was the Marshall Islands to the northwest, then something called U.S. Kiribati to the southeast. "What's U.S. Kiribati?" Buzz asked. "It doesn't matter," she answered impatiently. "What I'm saying is, this whole area is about 1,500 miles across, and we're somewhere in the middle of it." He looked back at the map again. 1,500 miles was Chicago to California, half of the United States. "So even if the Coast Guard is looking for us," Vanessa nodded, "it's like the biggest, worst game of hide-and-seek ever." "And we aren't even trying to hide," Buzz said. The reality of it settled over him like a dark cloud. All day long, he'd been thinking about rescue, hoping for it, relying on it. Now it was starting to look like they might be stuck here for a lot longer than he'd imagined. Buzz stood up and re-scanned the empty beach, even though Vanessa had said not to worry about Carter and Jane. That didn't really seem possible anymore. "Vanessa," he said. "Yeah, okay," she said. She already knew what he was thinking. "We can start looking for them right now." Carter's heart leaped when he finally spotted Jane in the water. The current had her in its grip, carrying her right toward him. "Jane!" he yelled. But she didn't seem to hear. She was struggling to swim, her head just barely above the surface of the water. Carter stroked against the tide with everything he had. The most he could try for was to keep from drifting farther away, as Jane washed in his direction. It was like swimming upstream, and his arms weren't going to cut it much longer. The next glimpse he got of her, she was less than 20 yards away and closing in fast, but just off to the side. On instinct, Carter stopped trying to swim. He stretched his arms and legs into a wide X shape instead, as much like a net as he could make himself. Jane was there now, and she caught his eye. "Carter," she yelled again, "help me!" They collided in the water, and Carter grabbed hold. He flipped onto his back now, keeping his grip on Jane. His arms were too weak to swim against the tide anymore, but he could still kick. So could she. "Turn over," he yelled. With a fast scramble, they were hooked arm to arm like one unit. "Now kick," he said, "as hard as you can." The water at their feet roiled as they started to flutter and kick and inch their way back toward the shore. It was slow going, but they generated enough power to keep moving in the right direction. Carter aimed them for the middle of the sandbar, where the current was weakest. Finally, the water grew shallow enough that he could see the lagoon's sandy bottom. "We've got it," he said. He reached down with one foot, then the other, and found he could stand. Jane was even more exhausted than he was. He wrapped her arms around his neck and her legs around his middle. Then he trudged them both back up onto the tiny island's shore. As soon as he had dry sand under his feet, Carter collapsed onto his knees. A belly full of salt water came up and burned his throat all over again. His vision blurred and fuzzed. Jane rolled off him and lay on her back, panting. "Are you okay?" she said. He said. She just nodded. There were no words right now for either of them. Carter knew that this could have turned out even worse than it did. In a way, they'd been lucky. After several minutes, he stood up again and looked around. The water was still rushing in from the ocean. As long as that was the case, they weren't going anywhere. "How long does it take for the tide to turn around?" Carter asked. It seemed like something Jane would know. "Maybe 6 hours," she said, "but I think that might be too late." She was looking at the sky now as if there were some answer up there. All Carter could see overhead was a solid gray sheet of clouds. "Too late for what?" he said. He almost didn't want to hear her answer. "For us," she said, "the tide has to go down sometime, but so does the sun, and I've got a bad feeling about which is going to happen first."